Oh, good morning. Happy New Year. I get to cover everybody in one. But isn't it great to be in church on the first day of the year? I like the fact that with the new covenant in Jesus, they stopped making their worship day Sabbath and started making it Sunday. And there was a reason for that, because Sabbath was about resting from all our own work so that we could hopefully recover. But Sunday morning celebration was saying, the work's done by Him, it is finished, and we're celebrating the start of the new. You know, first day of the week they began to meet, because they're saying, we've started a whole new thing here. We've got a whole new life to live. And you understand, the new covenant makes all things new. And I want to talk to you today about new things, since we're starting a new year. It could be a very interesting year prophetically, because if you've tracked some of the prophetic or kingdom key events in history, you'll know that in 1517 was when Martin Luther basically caused the Reformation. Up till that time, it was basically the Dark Ages, where everyone was dominated by the Roman Church and religiosity. But that's what was the start of the Enlightenment. Like, the whole planet shifted dramatically. Actually, he put his thesis, nailed it to the church door, I guess, on October the 31st, 1517. And what's interesting, 100 years ago is when, on October 31st, they signed the Balfour Declaration, which basically said, after 2,000 years, the Jews are going to have their land back. And it was exactly 50 years later that they got their city of Jerusalem, which, you know, it's not really Israel without their heart, you know, capital city of Jerusalem, the city of God, Zion. And so that happened 50 years later exactly. So it just makes you wonder, it's exactly 50 years this year. It's 10 jubilees since the Reformation. I'm not saying Jesus is coming back this year, but I am saying God's got His own clock. He's got His own agenda. He's got His own plan. And thankfully, we're on His team, so we're part of it. But, you know, God's unfolding His own things on earth, just as the world itself is unfolding new things. And, you know, I think it's important to recognize that new things are not always easy for us. And Jesus addressed that. I'm going to read Luke 5 to start with, where He was telling a parable, Luke 5, 35 to 39. He said, "No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, both will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the new wine will burst the skins and it'll be spilled out. And the skins will be ruined, but new wine must be put into fresh wineskins, and no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, because they say the old is good enough." So basically what He was saying to His generation, I'm bringing in the new covenant. And they were so familiar with the old covenant of law, which is all about you get what you deserve. Old covenant of law is all about your performance. If you do good, you'll be blessed. If you do bad, you'll be cursed. And so you basically get what's coming to you depending how well you measured up to the demand of the law. But Jesus comes marching on the scene. He goes, "We're done with that, guys. I'm bringing new wine. I'm bringing something fresh and brand new, and it's going to totally mess with your mindsets. You're going to have to get your head and your heart around this, because it's not going to be the same old anymore. We're not going to do it that way anymore. In fact, from now on, it's basically," He was saying, "it's not about the temple anymore. It's not about the priests. It's not about the Levites. It's not about the Sabbath days. It's not about all those things that the Jews saw were, you know, core to their belief system, core to their nation." What He was saying is, "I'm bringing a new covenant. Yes, it's for the nation, but it's going to change everything. And you're going to have to come up with a new way of receiving it as in like new wineskins, you're going to have to be flexible. You're going to have to flow. You're going to have to work with what I'm doing here. Otherwise, you can't contain it. You'll burst. You'll lose it. You'll miss it. And so little wonder that the Lord had to reach past the religious leaders, past the Pharisees, past the priests, and pick a bunch of fishermen, a bunch of, you know, untrained, unlearned people, and put in them the new wine of the new covenant, because they were able to flow with it because they didn't have all the old mindsets. See, I wonder if when God says to us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. If everything is meant to become new in your world, are you receiving the new from God? Are you moving with the new from God? Or are you, like Jesus said, you're pretty comfortable with the old? Because if everything's going to become new, what that means is you're going to have some new adventures. There's stuff that God wants to unfold to you that you have not experienced before. Stuff you're going to see that you've not seen before. It's going to be, if it's new, it's going to be the first time for you. And what that also means is that there's going to be a demand to let go of some stuff, because until you let go the old, you can't pick up the new. I remember when I was coming to the Lord and I knew I was going to find God. I was, you know, I'd bought a Bible secretly. And I was in the Albion Hotel to audition for a rock band, and not quite getting that, you know, they don't sort of fit together, slightly incongruous with each other. But the rock band druggy lifestyle and the God honoring Bible lifestyle. But I was on my way, but I knew the cigarettes weren't good. And I remember just thinking, man, if I don't get rid of these, I'm not going to be able to step into the new thing. These are holding me back. And I want to talk to you a little bit towards the end of my message about how to pick up the new life, how to live out the new man, how to actually be a different person this year and put behind you the old. Some of you, you're glad it's a new year because 2016 wasn't so good for you. Well, you know, that's probably not a bad thing. This is when God talks about the new and the old, it's a picture of a house getting renovated. You know, your life should be in a constant state of renovation. I was a renovator in Sydney for a number of years, about 5 years, and one of the first houses we renovated had been burned out. I mean, somebody had set fire to it or threw a, you know, what do they call them, Molotov cocktail through the window. It was right near the Redfern block, and the whole house was gutted. But, you know, you might be feeling like you're gutted by stuff. The great thing was it was an opportunity to make it all brand new. But if you don't, when you're a renovator, the first thing you realize, you're looking for all the stuff you got to get out. You got to start there. You got to get stuff out so you can put the new in. And if you don't get the old out, you can't put the new in. And I believe that often in the journey of life, God is trying to bring us to the end of something. And we're fiercely fighting back going, no, I need to keep it this way because this is what I know. And it's human nature to feel comfortable with what you know. And sometimes God's bringing you to a place and the pressure's on because he's saying, would you just let this go, please? Because how am I going to bring you to the new thing if I can't bring you to the end of the old thing? Just a thought. Once you've seen the new kitchen, the new bathroom, the new flooring, you love it. And you realize, what was I ever thinking to want to have that old rotten sink that, you know, didn't have enough room for all the dishes and didn't have a dishwasher, all the, you know, when the new's in, it's easy then. You can realize, gee, this is so much better. But it's how do you do that? Let go of the old and realize you don't really need that for the rest of the journey. So that's the process we're in. But you know, the truth is, the world itself is constantly bringing new stuff to us. You know, I've had a lot of very interesting discussions recently My son is staying with us for a few weeks. He's finishing his doctorate from his university studies. And, you know, we've got a few academics around us and talking a lot about where the world's going. What's happening in the world? And one of the things he's talked to us a lot about is that, you know, basically robotics are coming in huge. Driverless cars, within maybe 5 years, you'll just see them everywhere you go. What that means is within 5 years or somewhere thereabouts, probably they won't even need truck drivers. See, it's happening fast. It's happening really fast. You know why they want driverless cars? Because driverless cars don't get tired, don't get distracted. You know, they don't need their coffee in the morning just to make sure they're observant on the road. They can, you know, a car now, they've got lots of them out there, but they're just not letting the robot drive it. They're letting the people have a bit of control. But it's going to happen. It's basically a done deal. There's been billions of dollars of investment in driverless cars. It's the horse is already bolted. You're going to be in a world of cars. Now, you may still be able to drive a car for some period of time. Might take transition. But, you know, a robot's going to drive better than you. Better than most people. And so that's just what it's happening. It's going to happen. It's you might not like it, but it's happening. There's so many things that are happening. And do you know the speed of change is increasing as well? Do you know it took the world 5 years to accept mobile phones? Do you know you'll find people in Nepal in the mountains, old ladies, little kids, all got mobile phones. They're all over the planet. And in one way, you can understand that's kind of a cool thing because it means people can be found, they can be reached, they can communicate with other people wherever they are. It makes the world a bit better connected. It took the world 5 years to just accept that mobile phones are part of how we do life. But it wasn't that long ago. Nobody had them. Not that long ago. It took the world 3 years to accept Facebook. Everybody can find everybody else as long as they're on there, through Facebook. Well, because it's hard to see all the people that you knew and missed from long ago, so why not have this great connection point where you can find everybody and see what they're up to? But it's happened, and it's basically a done deal. It's in the system. Well, there's a lot of other things that are changing. Basically, we're going cashless. You know why? It makes sense. Because most criminal activity is done with cash. If you could get rid of cash, you would stop all the illicit sex trade. You'd stop the drug trade because they got to do it surreptitiously where no one can see, no one knows. If you've got cash, you just use cash. But when there's no cash, you can't. So it's going to fix a problem. I'm not saying it's the answer. I'm just saying that's the way it's going. They've already pulled out certain, you know, notation values in different countries just to stop illegal stuff. It's going to happen. You know, I subscribe to an investment, not that I'm a big investor, but to an investment newsletter from, it's totally secular. These guys, just sort of a group of high-powered investors in America. Just over a year ago, they were trying to get us to invest in this new technology. They said, what this is, it's going to fix the health problems of the planet. They said, what it is, this incredible thing is going to be able to tell a person if there's a problem with their blood sugar levels, if they're about to have a heart attack, if they're about to have an aneurysm. It's going to be able to tell them all the different stuff that's going on in their body, constantly monitoring 24 hours, and you'll know exactly. If you pass out, if you're in an accident, they'll be able to find you. They'll know all your medical records. They'll know everything about you. And all it is this tiny grain. It's about the size of a grain of rice, and it will just sit inside your blood, inside your body, and it'll constantly measure everything. And they said, this is to the investors. This is inside. Because I had to pay to join this group. They said, it's already been accepted by American Congress. It's signed off on. They showed us the factory. They said, we're making millions and millions of these to be rolled out to the American public soon. and they said, by the way, we've got factories all over the world making these so that we can roll them out to the whole planet. Now, what they're saying is this is an answer to people's health issues to make people safe. What they're not saying is, by the way, this needs to hold all your personal data. Who you are, where you live, where you've been, what your, you know, your bank accounts, everything. I mean, it makes sense. You know, why would you have cards when you can just have a, you know, we swipe all the goods. Why don't we just swipe the people? Hey, nobody can steal your arm if it's in your arm. They're not gonna take your head just to pay for their, you know, for their cigarettes or whatever they're doing. So it makes sense. And this is the way the world's going. It's happening, and it's happening rapidly. There's a law that the academic world and the industrial world's aware of. It's called Moore's Law. And what it says is that the speed of internet or computer processing doubles every 18 months. What that means is the capacity for a tiny little thing to do, you know, 1,000 times what it would have done 10 years ago is right there. So machines, robots are basically, they're all around us. They're what, you know, it's become a whole different world. Whether you like that or not, it is. They're not going to slow it down, stop it. Even when people talk about things like, you know, and these are the things that are going on. When they talk about things like global warming or climate change, you know, I don't know, the jury's out in my mind whether it's happening or whether it's not. I know some people are strongly believe it's not happening. There's no doubt we shouldn't pollute the planet. Stop polluting the planet. That makes sense. Let's look after our own backyard. However, if you're a globalist and you want global rule, you've got to have a global problem that only a global body can fix. So it makes sense to promote the idea that the planet's falling apart. Somebody has to make the changes. Somebody who can be the boss of everything. See, with all of these potential tools, the potential is that they shift from being tools to being ruling over us. And that we're controlled by them rather than, you know, man's always tried to find tools to help him get along. It's a good thing. It's good to have tools. You know, I'm glad that I can, you know, take transport to get from here to there rather than have to walk everywhere. It doesn't help the fitness, John Paul, but it's, you know, I'm a happy walker, but it's really nice that I didn't have to walk here this morning. It's a long way from Triggs. But, you know, so it's not, the tools themselves aren't evil, but it's how they can get used. That's the world we live in. This is the way it's going, and it's happening fast. I don't know, maybe there'll be a backlash. Maybe there'll be a backlash like Brexit was a backlash. Like voting for Trump, I guess, was a backlash. People are just going, we hate the establishment. We hate the way the things are going. We don't want it the way it's going. And so they've pulled it back. I don't know, but I think technology's here, and I think it's taking us faster than we probably realize. That's the world. It's an interesting thing because the Bible talks about man by knowledge. What happens to man with knowledge? And it says this in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 20 says, where is the wise man, or the academic, the intellectual, or the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. In other words, the world thinks it's being smart, but with all of its worldly smarts, it's not getting to the truth. It's not going to come to the answer. In actual fact, remember what Jesus said to Peter when he turned to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me because you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's interests. So there's something that's going on around us that is of man's interest. It seems to be common sense, obvious that we should embrace these things, But in actual fact, Jesus said, Peter, when you're on that track, you're actually talking for the devil. So it's important that in this time of change in the world around us, that we are aware that not everything that seems sensible or smart is necessarily what God wants. It could be something that's of the devil and demonic in nature and demonically inspired perhaps, or demonically used in the same way that Peter was being used by the devil, just with a man's view. Are you with me? So it's very important in a time of incredible change that we stay focused and remember, and this is something God reminds me of all the time. He keeps saying to me, son, this is my world. This is my world. And no matter what man is up to with all his scams and scandals and plans and schemes, God is at work. God is at work, and he plans to get his planet back. You know, when they tried to get rid of Jesus, they thought that was the end of it. All they did was comply with God's plan, and ultimately, the most magnificent, you know, thing that's happened ever, you know, BC, AD, Christ risen from the dead, death conquered. Salvation for every human that breathes and lives on this planet. Complete, total exoneration from sin and wickedness through simple faith in his name. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good enough for it. You don't have to deserve it. But he offers it to you for free. Total, utter acceptance with heaven simply because of what he's done on our behalf. Oh, I love it. I mean, God's not losing because Jesus died. He's winning more and more and more. So as you see the world ramp up in the direction that it's going, this whole thing of cashless and computers, if you've read Revelation 13, you know what it says. There'll come a time when you can't buy or sell without taking a certain number and a mark. And you can see it, we're probably right on the threshold of it. I don't know how long we've got, but my understanding of eschatology is that the church doesn't go out weak and wimpy and insipid and failing. I see the church, at least the five virgins side of the ten, they were shining brightly. I believe this is harvest time. This is where the Lord gathers his bride. He's preparing his bride. He's looking for his bride. He's waiting for his bride. He wants his church, and he wants to call her home when he's ready. I can say a lot more about that, but I'm not going to do it right now. But I think that you get the drift, is that God knows what he's up to. But if you want to tell the time on God's prophecy clock when God is at work in the earth, you've only got to look to one place, and pretty much it's the nation of Israel. And I say that not because, you know, any vested interest. I say it because it's clearly in the scriptures. When Jesus comes back, where's he coming back to? Israel. He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split in two. And the people of Israel, the Jews, if you read Zechariah chapter 12, they'll look on the one whom they pierced and they'll mourn for him. They're not going to be hostile to him. They're going to be heartbroken. They're going to mourn for him. And it says God will pour out on them a spirit of grace and supplication. There's going to be an awakening in that land. In fact, Paul put it this way. He said, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, which is all the nations, then all Israel will be saved. God hasn't forgotten his wife. We're called the bride of Christ. Israel was called the wife. He goes, you committed adultery against me. But Hosea, the whole book is devoted to saying, but I'm going to get my wife back. No matter how badly she went, I'm getting her back. When the fullness of the Gentiles has come, then all Israel will be saved. What did Jesus say about Jerusalem? He said, Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot of the nations until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. You know what that means? Is that Jerusalem had to come back under Jewish rule. before that could happen. Jerusalem is pretty much under Jewish rule, ready for his return. It had to happen. What if the Aussies hadn't have liberated the nation of Israel with a few palms thrown in as well? A few Kiwis. But we liberated that land 100 years ago this year. We liberated it so that it could happen. The Lord is coming back to a nation that is restored from being scattered throughout the nations. There's so many scriptures that talk about that, but that's not the essence of my message today. If you want to know the time, why do you think it's so fiercely fought over? Why? Because it's the place the Lord has promised to come and establish his rule on earth. On earth. Listen to this. I love it. It's in Isaiah 2, verse 1 to 4. The word of the Lord, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills. All the nations will stream to it. And many people will come and say, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. The law will go forth from Zion. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, he will judge between the nations and render decisions for many people. They'll hammer their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. See, God's got a plan to set up his rule on the planet and to bring an end to all the craziness, to bring an end to war, and to bring in his kingdom rule and righteousness on the planet. So if there has to be a demolition, an ending of the way things are on the planet now, so that he can bring it in new, well, then that's what we'd probably call the Great Tribulation. It's not the end. It's simply a cleaning up and allowing of things just to come to their obvious implosion and conclusion so that God can go, now we've got rid of the rubbish, we can bring in the new. So don't get fearful and don't get nervous and don't get scared when it looks like the enemy's getting away with his terrible tricks. God's only allowing it for a time and it will have its purpose, but God will ultimately play the trump card. Well, I won't say the trump card because I'm not trying to be political here at all. Sorry. Don't you love it? Let's read this. Look at God's dream for the planet. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. New. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. And there's no longer any sea. Most commentators believe planet Earth will still be here. It's more speaking about a renovation. And he says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they'll be his people, and God himself will be among them. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There'll no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. And the first things have passed away. He who sits on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. New. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness. That's God's dream for the planet. People go, well, if God's real, how come he lets all the suffering going? Go on. Hang on a second. That's his dream. That means he doesn't like the pain, the suffering, the sorrow, the tears. The heartache. That's not what he wants. When he is here to rule and reign on the planet, he wipes all that away. Why do you think there's pain, sorrow, and suffering on the planet? Because people have decided to do it their own way. We don't need you, God. The whole mess we're in is because Adam and Eve thought they could go independent. We'll be our own gods, thank you. We don't want you anymore. We'll be right. She'll be right, mate. No worries. If they were Aussies, they'd say it that way, wouldn't they? No worries, mate. She'll be right. She's not right. You can see she's not right. She won't be right until the Lord's rule. So how does that then work out in our lives? Where the rule of God is, there's peace. He's going to want to get the bad out and put the new in. The old's got to come to an end in order for the new to be established. Is that right? So this is where you realize in your own life there's got to be a transfer. This is what I realized and has been probably the most powerful transformation in my life. Where it's like it says in Galatians 6:15, it says, in the Lord, circumcision doesn't profit anything. Neither does uncircumcision, but a new creature. So what's he actually saying by that? Because these days, you know, we're not really talking circumcision. Basically what he's saying is, if you want to keep the law and do all the right things, then circumcision's part of it, right? But he goes, if you've decided that you don't want to live under the law so you don't get circumcised, he goes, that's not going to help you either. See, what he's saying is, the answer to the human struggle, the answer to the human dilemma, is not trying to fix the problem yourself. Hey? Well, I'll just, you know, I'll feel better if I just stop trying. Probably not. You'll probably stay stuck with the same default thinking, the same problems you've had all along. There are people who quit church because they just think it's too hard. Well, they could have broken through if they'd persevered. But that's that thinking that just says, well, if I back off, I'll at least won't feel like it's too hard. And there's other people who just think, man, if I just read my Bible more, if I just do more, then I'll be better. I gotta just do more stuff. And God's going, hang on a second. That's not how it works, right? You know why? Because that is works. He goes, the answer is the new person, new creature. It's like John Paul read out this morning. You're talking. The new person is the answer to your struggle. See, how many people are going to make New Year's resolutions? I'm gonna. You know what I noticed? If you talk like that, you're never gonna. You know that? You listen to how you talk. I really want to encourage you with it. This is going to help you this year. If your talk is like this, I ought to, I need to, I should, I gotta, you won't. Okay? I promise you. You know why? Because that's coming from outside. It's saying, out there somewhere are those that expect this of me, right? Or the Lord expects this of me. And what is that putting you under? Law. The law is all about your performance. If you just get it together and perform, you'll get blessed. If you do it all right, you'll get blessed. If you do it wrong, you'll be cursed. So it's all about what you have to do or maybe don't do, but it's still about you. So what's the difference? The Bible says you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to think different. And when you think different, you change, right? The word repent is not saying, you better stop smoking those cigarettes or you'll be in trouble. Right? Repent's not that. The word repent is literally change mind. Change mind. When your thinking changes, your actions follow. Your life changes. Your habits change. Your destiny changes. There's a saying that says if you sow a thought, you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a behavior, a habit. a behavior. And if you sow a behavior, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a destiny. Your life's new. Your life's different, but it started with your thinking. So here's how you think according to the new creature, right? What did God say about the new covenant? He says, I'm going to write it on your heart, right? So where is it? In your heart. How did it start in your heart? What happened? You believed, accepted, and confessed, right? Jesus Christ, the new man, began inside of you the day you believed, received, accepted, and confessed, agreed, right? You agreed that Christ is Lord. You are now saved. You are born again. There's a new person living inside of you. Do you know the new person in you has no appetite for sin? The old you does, but the old you's declared dead now. Why are you pulling that dead person around with you? Why not just let them go? When you live out of the new man, you live out of the new man's heart, the new man's desires. If you're under the law, you'll always be struggling against sin and temptation and faulty behavior. If you live under the new man, you'll live out of the life of Christ that's in you. It's no longer you who live anyhow. He's supposed to be the one living through you. How does the new man think? The new man, it comes from inside of you. Because he's in there, isn't he? It's not externally imposed. I shouldn't be bad. I should be good. But I can't. So I'm just naturally naughty. That was the story of my life, man. But when Christ comes in, what he's saying is, you have a new heart, a new spirit. You want to. You watch it. If you've got a diet issue, you know when that'll change? When you start saying, I don't want to eat those things. I want to eat these. It's not about should, could, ought to. Forget it. You don't want to. I watched my mum. She's a very healthy 82-year-old, recently trampled up the Nepal, you know, treks. Very, very healthy. But I watch her. When it's junk food, she goes, oh. It's like, to her, she so detests junk food, there's never going to be an association between her and it. Basically, what she's saying is, that's not who I am. Now, there's a big difference. Who are you? Or what are you doing? Right? I better not do that. Because it's naughty, and it's unhealthy, and it's already ruining my life. Better not. Yeah, we already know you better not. But it's a whole lot different when you just go, that's not who I am. Right? I'm a new person. That's not who I am. And on the converse, the new creature says, I want to. This is who I am. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This is who I am. I'm somebody that loves the people that are unlovely in my world. That's who I am. I don't spend my life trying desperately to work up love for people who are making my life miserable. I've decided this is who Christ is in me. I can love my enemies. He loves them. I may not, but he does, and he's in there, so I'm going to let him out. Some of you wives, this is very good news for you. You can love that man despite all of his peculiarities, his imperfections that are glaring at you every day. Believe it or not, Christ in you can see past all of that. Hallelujah. Christ in you can see the awesomeness. We've got to keep talking like this, John Paul. You know what I think people's biggest struggle is usually? It's your self-talk. How do you talk about you, man? How do you talk about you? Well, I'm just blah, 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 blah. You're mad with yourself, but you know what you're doing? You're beating yourself with the law, thinking that you're going to fix the problem, and all you're doing is making it worse. Blah, 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 blah. I'm. And what does the Lord say about you? Precious daughter, much loved son, I'm so proud of you. You belong to me. I see you perfected. I started this thing. I'm going to finish it. I'm already at work. I can already see you glorified. I've already seen the finish. What are you focusing on where you came from? I'm focused on where you're going, what you're becoming. It can't get worse. It can only get better. The more there is of Christ, the less there is of you. It's got to get better. Well, I've tried it so many times. I just can't change. Yeah, because you're trying to change. But he in you, far greater is he in you than anything that's going on this planet, in this world. Far greater is he in you. You got to, I pray, heaven help you to change the way you see you and the way you talk about you. Is Christ in you? My goodness, he is. You're a force to be reckoned with. Christ in you. The hope of glory, Christ in you, far greater than anything the world's got happening on the planet. Far greater is he living in me. See, you're hearing this today. But I want to challenge you that throughout the year, transformation can happen because you just want to keep reminding yourself. All right? I get hammered. I get told by the enemy I'm no good. There's no hope for me. Nothing's going to work out. You won't be able to provide. You won't be able to fulfill your call. You won't this. You won't that. You won't this. You know, you're a loser, Ned. I've heard that voice. And then he throws the evidence at you. Because look at this and look at that and look at this and look at that. But who am I going to agree with, man? That voice, or the voice of the lion of the tribe of Judah, who's also living inside of me? He's got something else to say about me and you. God bless you. Happy New Year. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for having your eye on us, for covering us with your feathers, as we heard in your prophetic word this morning. Thank you, Father, that you handpicked each and every one here this morning. You chose us. We didn't choose you. It was you who chose us and drew us to yourself. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you cannot say to me, Pastor Ned, I know Jesus as my Savior. But this morning there's the chance to turn a new leaf, to start a new chapter, to start a new life. And it all begins with Jesus becoming your Savior. He's knocking at the door and asking, waiting for you to invite him in. If that's you today and you'd like to invite Christ into your life, I'd like you to raise your hand and just say yes. I want to know the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. That's so great. as a whole amazing thing right there. Anyone else that wants to join these who've already raised their hands to say yes to the Lord? Today you're making a decision. This year is going to be different from last year. It's going to be different because He is going to make all things new inside of you. Do you need to be good enough for God? That's the good news. You can't be. Christ is your good enough for God. Christ is your good enough. If you raise your hand, I want you just to look at me for a second. You meant that, huh? I know you did. I'm excited. Sir, right at the back there, you raise your hand. You meant it, hey? You did, you meant it. Well, I'm going to say a prayer with you. I want you to repeat this after me where you are. Anyone else who wants to make this decision, I want you to say this prayer right after me, okay? Just say it. Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay for all my wrongs. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Please come into my heart. Forgive me. Make me a new person. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm stoked. What a way to start the new year, man, with a brand new life. So I encourage you, I hope you're encouraged by what you've heard today. There's a lot we could have talked about, stuff that's going on, but the best thing is to know that you're in God's care. And I love that the prophetic was released this morning. May that be, I don't know if you're contending for that, but I love it. We are spirit-filled people, and there's a lot more that heaven wants to say to us. There's a lot more that heaven wants to do, I believe. And as long as we stay hungry and open, He's just going to pour in the new. You know, I guess we could let the service go now, but I just feel to pray for someone, particularly someone here. You really feel like 2016 was the end of the earth for you. It was all you could do to even still be standing. And you're here, but you know you need God to really visit you. Put fresh wind in your sails. Give you a fresh sense of His possibility as against what you've already seen you can or can't do. So if that's you and you want prayer, feel welcome to come forward. Not just me, but other leaders here will pray for you. You can ask God to give you a fresh dream for the year. I think in this time, if you're on holidays, take the time to ask God. Don't just keep running and doing. You know, there's plenty of work to do through the year, but this is a great time to just go, God, give me a fresh sense of who you are for me and who I am for you. And He wants to help you. He really wants to help you. You know, God really wants to help you. He wants to help us all, but He wants to help you. If you trust Him, He's going to turn some things around in your world that they've seemed stuck. And honestly, God is so for you, you'll be amazed. I'm seeing you sitting here with, are you friends? There's other friends that are going to come to know the Lord because of your lives and your testimony. And you're going to end up needing like a whole row of people that are just going to, because they're seeing what God's doing in you. They're seeing it. People are watching you right now and they're wondering, my goodness, is this for real? And God's going to show them that He is. Okay? He loves you more than you realize. If He asks something from you, it's not to take away. It's only so, what I talked about, if you let it go, He can give you what He's got. Okay? So are you willing to trust Him? Let me hold your hand. Jesus, help this daughter, this princess, this child of the King. Help her to make the decisions that let her walk with you. In sync with you. Bless her, bless her, bless her, bless her, bless her. Bless her home life. Bless her and lead her in the everlasting way. In Jesus' name. 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 He's going to be better to you than anyone else could ever be on this earth. Better than anyone you could imagine. He's so kind. You don't even know how kind God can be. You're just starting to get a taste. You're just starting to get a taste. There's a lot more to come. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. Praise the Lord. You? He has not left you behind, and He never will. Okay. God bless you. What a good God. Thank you.